We've got a lot of bird lovers in the state of Connecticut and certainly listening to WACC. So we thought we would talk about a pretty cool success story that just broke with the Connecticut Audubon Society. Joining us back on the show is Tom Anderson, a dear friend of WACC, also director of communications and the editor of Connecticut State of the Birds. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm fine, Melissa. How are you?
I'm very good. Tell us about the purple martins. First of all, what are the purple martins?
Well, purple martins are a large swallow that are here in Connecticut from roughly April to late summer. And they nest in these, you've probably seen the one you're driving around. People put out birdhouses on the top of tall poles. They nest in those. The problem is they only nest in certain places. So if you put them out in your backyard, you're definitely not going to get purple martins. But if you have them in places that are wide open without a lot of trees near some water, you have a good chance that you might get purple martins. And we have them at our Milford Point Coastal Center. We have a number of these colonies that we manage out in the borough of Fenwick in Old Saybrook. And we have some at Deer Pond Farm in Sherman and at Pomfret and at Stratford Point. And this year, they're doing unusually well. There's about 140 pairs as of late last week, and they have maybe as many as 500 or more babies in the nests, some of which are starting to leave the nest. So it's been a really good year.
You said unusually good year. Why do you say it that way, Tom?
Well, because we and other organizations track fairly closely the number of nests and hatchlings and fledglings each year. And this year, the number 500 is just higher than it's been. It's not the highest ever, but in the past couple of years, it's been down, you know, maybe in the 300s and 400s. So it fluctuates. Part of the reason it fluctuates, I think, is because of the weather. The success rate is weather dependent. If it happens to be cold, these birds depend on insects. They fly out of their nests and they soar, I mean, thousands of feet in the air, but also fairly low, and they're looking for insects to eat. And if the weather doesn't cooperate, they can hit a spell when there's not enough insects to really sustain them. But this year, for whatever reason, seems to be good in that respect.
I think that's really exciting. Now, Tom, you had mentioned sort of where you could typically see them around Connecticut. Are purple martins a native bird, or did they come from? Oh, they are.
They're a native species. They migrate. They're not here in the winter, but they're people have heard about the famous swallows of Capistrano. They return to the same location every year on roughly the same date. Purple martins are very similar. They'll return to the same colonies, so to speak, the same clusters of nests every year, right around the same date in early to mid-April. And if people want to see them, one of the easiest places is the Milford Point Coastal Center. There's a colony with, I think, 48 active nests this year, and it's very close to the parking lot. There's a little observation platform, pull into the parking lot, walk up onto the platform. It's easy access. There's actually even a ramp to get up, and you can sit there and watch the birds come and go feeding their babies. It's quite exciting, actually. It's a riot of noise and activity as they come and go, and the babies squawking for food.
That's so cool. And they're a beautiful bird. If you've never seen them before, definitely look them up. They're really gorgeous. I always think of them, Tom, whenever I see them, they almost, to me, seem like we say floofy in our house, but like a fluffy version of a raven, and that deepish blue color. I mean, they're really quite exquisite.
They're called purple martins because they're a deep purple. Yeah, sometimes they look black. Sometimes females will look a little brown, but they are a really rich purple color.
Yeah, they're
beautiful.
Yeah, they really are. They're a beautiful bird. I did not realize they were native to Connecticut. So does it really come down to, Tom, the weather is really sort of their kryptonite, if you will, if the weather impacts their food?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. But the thing that the reason I sent out my notice and put it on our website the other day is that it's really important One of the things that really helps these birds thrive is if they get fairly regular care during the season. You know, one of the strange things about purple martins is that historically, like 400 years ago, in the east of the Rockies, they would nest in woodpecker holes in dead trees, like, you know, abandoned woodpecker holes, and there were enough of them for the purple martins to exist. But now, really, for the last few centuries, the only places they nest are in these sort of man-made houses, and they always do better if the houses are tended. So we have teams of staff and volunteers at Milford Point. They go out every Friday and they check each nest and they see how the babies are doing, and the nests tend to get infested with mites, which are parasites on the baby, so they clean out the mites. And they, you know, the staff and volunteers just sort of makes it easier for these birds to survive. And they'll survive without them, but not quite as well. One of the reasons they're doing so well is we're spending not just the money, but also working with volunteers who are willing to spend the time and come out and really care for these birds. So they benefit from the better weather and from the care.
Yeah, I think that's that definitely is part of it, which is, you know, why we talked about like the plovers the other week and during the 4th of July holiday and everything, and why it really does take people caring enough about these bird species and the hatchlings, certainly their nests. I mean, that this is really a prime time and making sure that you're aware of it. And there is a new article that was just released actually a few days ago, really looking at the purple martins specifically. If you go to the Audubon's website, it's ctaudubon.org. And you could certainly read through that and also see everything that's going on with the Connecticut Audubon, and also find the different locations all across the state where you can be a part of it and certainly check out birds like the purple martins and many others. And I love, you know, how this article ends. This year, the proof is in the number of nests and baby birds. I mean, when you look at such a thriving number, I mean, 500 hatchlings, that's really nothing to scoff at. Do you imagine, Tom, that that's probably the number we're going to stick with, or do you believe that we could see even more by the end of the summer?
You know, the last time the guys went out to the place in Old Saybrook and looked, I think there were still maybe 32 eggs that were unhatched. Some of those will hatch and survive. Some of them are probably unhatched because they're unviable. They're not, never going to hatch. So it might be more than 500. On the other hand, you never know. Some hatchlings just don't make it because they don't get enough food. Maybe they were born hatched. You know, if the nest has 5 or 6 babies in it, the one that hatches last maybe won't get enough food sometimes. So it's hard to tell, but unless something drastic happens, it won't be a lot lower than 500, and it might be a little bit higher. So that's a good number. You know, the other thing I should mention is that while, in my opinion, I work for Connecticut Audubon, we're doing a great job on this, and our members are really generous in their support of it. But there are also established colonies at Hammonasset State Park. There's one at the Big Marsh, I believe, in Guilford, at Sherwood Island State Park in Westport, and up in northwestern Connecticut in Litchfield County. There are a number of places that I've only heard about, I've never seen, but they have thriving colonies as well. So it's Connecticut Audubon, but not just Connecticut Audubon. There are lots of people and landowners who are taking care of these birds. Enough, by the way, that a decade ago they were listed as a threatened species in Connecticut, and they're no longer that. They're now considered species of special concern, so we're concerned about them, but they're no longer threatened.
I love that. These are those success stories that I think, again, we have so many bird lovers, not just across the state, but, you know, specifically here on WACC, who love to hear that we see, you know, we go from kind of you know, like a threat in number to really like a healthy place. And it's, I think this is another one that I want to scream to the rooftops. I think it's exciting. When I saw your note come through before the weekend, I thought, how do I get you on as soon as possible? And so I'm really glad we got to talk about the Purple Martins. I hope that they continue to have great success. And again, just putting the notice out there to please beware of these nests and these birds that are really reliant, certainly, on people being aware of them. And, you know, conservation is certainly a really important thing here. So, Tom, I want to thank you so much for sharing this story with us on the show. And like I said, keep us updated. I'm very excited for this population.
You're very welcome. I'm always glad to hear from you. And whenever you're interested in talking about birds, just give us a buzz. We'll be there.
Oh, I will. I certainly will. And always, that'll always be the case, Tom Anderson. I want to thank you so much and the entire team at the Connecticut Audubon Society. And again, if you want to read this article or anything else going on with the Audubon, you can always go to their website, ctaudubon.org. Thank you so much, Tom. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Take care.
All right, you too. Tom Anderson, again, who is the Director of Communications as well as Editor of Connecticut State of the Birds.